Join me in a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for this morning. We can gather here to hear your word, listen to your guidance and wisdom, Lord. And we ask you to help us to open up our ears, heart, our mind, to receive your revelation on your scripture, Lord. And we just thank you that we get this type of instruction and guidance into our lives, Lord, that can touch us and transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, we were going to well-known chapter. We're going to read from Psalm 23. This is one of my, if not favorite, chapters. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is such a personal and beautiful and comforting psalm. And I think for many of us, it's so familiar and so meaningful, because anytime we go through difficulties, especially in our circumstances, things are out of our control, this chapter brings us a lot of comfort. And so in verse 1, it starts, and you know, this is the author of this is David. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so this is significant because David himself was a shepherd. So he knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew what it meant to be a sheep. And as a shepherd, you take care of your sheep. As sheep, you're not the smartest of animals, right? Apparently, their intelligence is not very high. They're short-sighted, right? So they can't see very far. So when sheep are, what's the word? Like herded, like directed, and to go, they actually need to do it like they stick their face in front of the next one's butt so that they can see. Because if there's no one in front of them, they can't see, right? And kind of sounds like us, where we're also very short-sighted as well. We can't see very far, right? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so in that same instance, we need to stay close, ultimately, we need each other as community, but we need to stay close to our shepherd, God. And he recognizes what the job of a sheep, and you know, in the New Testament, we're called sheep, right? And Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. And just as us, just as actual sheep, their job is to simply follow and obey. That's it. So simple. And that's what we're called to do too. Simply to follow and obey. And if you do that, then what's the result? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Which means all the stress, all the anxiety that you have, all the dissatisfaction you have would no longer be there. Because all your needs are met, right? How are they met? He goes on to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is the result of obedience and following the Lord. You're provided for. Your environment is peaceful. Your needs are met, right? As a sheep, what do you need? You need green pastures, grass to eat, and you need water. Those are the two things. So your physical provision is met. It says, He restores my soul. And so not only is it your physical needs are met, your emotional needs are met. Physical, emotional. And then it says, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And He gives you guidance. That's really everything you need, right? Food, physical provisions, restores my soul, your emotional provision, and guidance. If you have all those things, what other needs do you have, really? Right? A lot of our stress actually stems from not or having uncertainty in these areas. Our paycheck, right? Our provision. Our guidance. What do I do? What's my next steps in life? What do I do in this circumstance? Those are the things that causes us great anxiety, stress, and dissatisfaction. But, again, the Lord is our shepherd. And because of the, as a shepherd, these are the things He would do for you, I shall not want. All our needs are met. And this is, why is this already so comforting for us? It's because as we read this, we're reminded of who God is and His character. And so, with whatever circumstances, stress that you're going through right now, you can just lay it down and just simplify life and simply say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to follow and obey You. Verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. And so the reality of life is there are difficulties, that there is suffering, there is persecution that we're going to face. That's just there. And sometimes these things here it says the shadow of death. So it's implying like it's just a shadow. A shadow cannot hurt you, right? But then there is also the reality, we read it in the Bible, there's actual death, physical death. However, we're saved from the wages of sin, death, eternal death, right? And that's why it's even physical death to us as Christians is just a shadow. And what brings this all together? Right, like it's like, why can we go through all these things? Suffering, persecution, even physical death. Why can we bear that? Right? Going to heaven, like knowing what happens in the afterlife, I think that helps, but that's not really the ultimate, right? The ultimate is God's presence is with you. And that's what David says here. He says, I fear not evil. I fear not walking through this valley of the shadow of death because You are with me. If God is with you, what is there to be afraid of? Right? When do we face the most anxiety and fear? Is when we're on our own. when we don't have any hope, when we don't know how to deal with this, that's when it feels overwhelming. And that can come even when you're with someone else, because, I mean, it helps if someone's with you, but even in that moment, if they can't comfort you, if they can't give you a hope, then this fear and dread is going to come on you, right? It's overwhelming. I've experienced that. But if God is with you, if God is with you, your shepherd, who is more than just a shepherd, right? This is just, he's like a shepherd, but he's more than that. He's God, all-powerful, all-loving, all-capable. And so if his presence is with you, what fear do we have? We can face any circumstance with hope. He says, and this is back to the guidance part, which is so important, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, part of the rod and staff is discipline. That's the image. But discipline is a good thing, right? When we go astray, we want guidance to be taught well. We don't want to, you know, be jaded. We don't want to be spoiled. Because end of the day, although we enjoy being spoiled, right, it's not good for you. My children, they might love junk food. They love their video games. But if I don't discipline them and say, no, this is not good for you, long term, it's going to make them miserable, right? They'll be overweight. They'll be obsessed with their devices instead of investing into learning and instead of investing into relationships. Even if they're with people, they're on their devices all the time. That's going to affect them adversely. Or they're on devices even at work all the time, right? That's going to get them fired or unfavored. And so this rod, this staff, is to guide us so that we can live a wise life. Verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. And so in Middle Eastern culture, whenever someone hosted a banquet, part of that host's responsibility is to protect, take care of all their guests, and also anoint them. And so that was the responsibility of the host. And so that's where this picture comes from, where likewise, you know, God is hosting us. We are his guests. And so his responsibility is to take care of us. And it says, you have anointed my with oil, my cup overflows, so provided generously, and there's this protection over us. And he says, before even the presence of my enemies. That's the circumstance we're in. We have, you know, we're in this world, but not of this world. We're living in a fallen world. And so, yes, we're going to face persecution. You're going to have enemies surrounding you. You're not necessarily going to get along with everyone, although we would love to, but the reality is we're in a spiritual battle. And so we're going to have enemies. But don't fret, don't fear, because God is hosting us. He's taking care of us. He's going to protect us in the presence of our enemies. And because he is our shepherd and we're our sheep, and so we will follow and obey. And this shepherd is all these things that, you know, was mentioned, all these things David listed. Provision, guidance, protection, his presence with us. And so if we have access to these things and we walk to follow, to receive these things, what is the result? Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And so that's the blessing that you inherit through obedience. when you go through, if you decide to do things your way, how you want, I don't want to say you won't receive these things, but it might be hit and miss. Right? I don't know how things are going to pan out. Maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. However, through obedience, this is what you inherit for God. And our response, right, is, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, if these are the things that you inherit, this is the character of God, then of course, hopefully, it's obvious, like, yes, then I'm going to reciprocate. Then I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow myself. I'm not going to follow this person or that person. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Amen? And what's special in all this, and I think I mentioned earlier the significance that the presence of God is with you. And so you should have nothing to fear, right? In this context, with King David, the presence of God was in the temple. And the temple housed the ark, and the ark housed the presence of God. And so that gave him such security. In fact, it was the presence of God that really defined God's people. Without the ark, then what are they? I mean, they're still God's people, but it was really the presence that defined them. And likewise, we have the presence of God. I think sometimes we take for granted, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, that's what they were after. We need the presence because the presence is what defines us. It's a presence that gives us strength and comfort and guidance. And we, as Christians, have that presence, not in a temple, well, yes, in a temple, but not in a physical building, but we are the temple. We have the presence in us. So even more so, all of these words that King David kind of expresses in his soul from the depths of his heart should ring true in us. And so let's go before the Lord. And we can just meditate on God's goodness, on who he is, and also how it relates to the way we interact with our lives if God is who he is.
You're the lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, now I may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship. worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you. Fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Let's gather at the front so we can pray together as a community.